Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky increased its fares a few months ago, and Cincinnati Metro will be raising most of its fares later this month as the system prepares for more Cincinnati Public School students to take Metro this fall instead of yellow buses. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about public transit in the region and new technology that Metro and Tank are going to be rolling out are Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky General Manager Gina Douthit, Cincinnati Metro Chief Communications and Marketing Officer Brandy Jones, Cincinnati Public Schools Chief Operating Officer Chris Burkhart, and Better Bus Coalition co-founder Cam Hardy. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Hello.
Great to have you all in the studio. Brandy, Metro has new fares that are taking effect July 16th. The fares are going to be increasing for most riders. I have a question for you about that, and we actually had an email about it from one of our listeners, Steve in Oakley. Steve writes, "While not a user of the bus system, I believe in the need for a transit system in a large metropolitan area such as Cincinnati. With the passage of Issue 7 5 years ago, the system was finally given the public revenue source needed to support it. I understand that some of that revenue is used for road repair along the routes, but I was surprised with this now robust tax revenue source in place. There is a fare increase. Any explanations other than inflation?" So, Brandy, you get to answer our first question.
Well, thank you to Steve for that question. And thank you to the Hamilton County voters who helped us pass Issue 7. And those that investment has been tremendous in allowing us to significantly improve our service. The funding model for the levy included incremental small fare increases every few years, because we knew, just like, you know, the cost of bread and milk goes up every few years, so does the cost of fuel and the cost to purchase our new buses. And so we want to make sure that we're continuing to be sustainable and that we can continue to upgrade where we need to, and also to continue delivering the amazing service that we've been able to provide to Hamilton County. And we can only do that if we stay abreast of the funding changes in the country, and as costs continue to increase, we want to make sure that our system does not suffer. And so a very small increase, we're increasing fares 20 cents on the base fare, will help us to continue to stay in line with rising costs.
Okay, and we'll get into some of those specifics, but Gina, I want to ask you, I think I mentioned Tank increased fares, I think it was back in March. What was your reasoning for that?
Yeah, I think very, very much the same. We hadn't raised our fares in 15 years.
And oh 15, my gosh,
years,
15
is, years. Yeah. So obviously costs have gone up. The cost of labor has gone up. So, you know, it was kind of time to make an adjustment. We also wanted to have all of our fares be the same. And so we took that step at the same time. So every route in our system now has the same fare.
Well, let's talk about the specifics. Gina, how did the fares change at Tank? What is that fare now?
So it's $2 for any fixed route that you ride. We used to have a variety of different fares, and it was confusing for people that wanted to use a variety of our service. So now $2, $2, $2.
Okay. Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Brandy, you mentioned the 20 cents, I think. Talk about how fares will be changing at Metro.
Yeah. So again, on July 16th, we will see those fare increases go into effect. On our base fare, if you travel anywhere throughout Hamilton County on what we call a local route, you will see a 20 cent increase. So it'll be $2.20. And if you are on an express route, and that's one of the major changes that we made before, it was if you were express Hamilton County, if you were express going to Claremont or Warren, there was a series of different fare. And we too wanted to simplify, you know, just like Tank mentioned earlier, to make that easier. So now it's just $3. If you're on any express route, no matter if you're traveling throughout Hamilton County or are connecting suburban counties. And so it was a chance for us to simplify fare and just have a small, modest increase as well that will continue to allow us to expand.
Well, and you also changed fares for children. Can you talk about that? Because that could actually maybe save some folks some money.
Yes. And we really love our partners, especially with the Better Bus Coalition. They were very instrumental in bringing to our attention the challenge that many families were having when trying to use our service and when they were traveling with small kids, and just how that cost can increase. And so that feedback led us to take a look at that fare. And now any child under 12 traveling working with a paying adult can ride free, and that's two children can ride free with a paying adult. So that type of connectivity with our advocates and our community voice that we hear whenever we're making those decisions really help us make a system that works for everybody.
And explain how the bus drivers will keep track of that, because I saw it described as 55 inches tall. It's almost like riding a ride at Kings Island. You're going to have a little measurement there to see how tall the kids are. Is that how they're going to do it?
Absolutely. We want to make it as simple as possible for everyone. And according to the CDC, average child height, 55 inches is the average height. And so there's a marker on each bus that when a child gets on, as long as they are under that marker, that signals to the bus operator that they can ride fare free. And so we want to make it as easy on our drivers and on our passengers as to that height restriction.
If you got a really, really tall kid, can you explain that to the bus driver?
Well, hopefully we won't run into that scenario. And it kind of helps just make sure that there's no issues on board, right? And so the parents can see the height, the driver can see the height. And as long as the kid is under that, you know, CDC typical height, you know, there shouldn't be any issues there.
Okay. Cam, tell us what you think about Metro's new fare structure. You just got a shout out from Brandy about the Better Bus Coalition and how you kind of partnered with this. What are your thoughts about these changes?
Yeah, well, we are extremely excited about what's going on at Metro right now. Issue 7 has brought in a lot of new momentum for our bus system. We are seeing 24-hour bus routes. We are seeing expanded bus routes. We're seeing increased frequencies, increased hours. So I think that all of those things combined justifies a 20-cent fare increase. From a rider's perspective, I'm really not too upset about it. You know, I would just encourage the Transit Authority to continue to make a commitment towards making sure that we continue to see those improvements. I think that right now we're seeing them, you know, and they're well. We want to continue to see new buses. We want to continue to see customer service, you know, get better and, you know, things like that. So we're really excited and want to continue to partner with Metro introducing new things. We're really excited.
Okay, we're talking about public transit for the full hour today, and we have experts here to answer your questions about taking the bus. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get a call. We got a message from a caller who had a comment about bus shelters. I'm going to let you hear that now.
The biggest thing that needs to get out there is that we need to think about and treat public transportation differently, really, not as just only a welfare service for the most marginalized and impoverished among us, but as really a legitimate mode of transportation for all. As a result of treating that, I hope that the things that would come first would be more funding so we can have more frequency. And really, in Cincinnati, more shelters would be like the biggest thing to tackle first, because a truly usable system needs to feel like human for everyone using it. And currently there's almost no shelters or benches along any Metro routes, really, except in the like center core of downtown and of the uptown area.
Brandon, I want to let you get, what are your thoughts on those comments?
Well, part of the Reinventing Metro plan is to add those customer amenities like benches and shelters. And the goal is to add 400 new benches throughout our service region and 200 shelters. And to date, we're near that. We've added about 140 plus of our new benches and about 50 new shelters. So we are progressing. We still have some ways to go, and it's a multi-year project throughout the whole region. We have more than 4,000 bus stops throughout Hamilton County. So quite a lot of stops to service, but we definitely want to look at those areas that have a high amount of population and usage and making sure that we're starting there. So it's certainly something that we're looking at, something that we're progressing in. And over the next year or so, we should see a huge influx of benches and shelters coming online too.
Yeah. Gina, is that something you hear about Tank also? People requesting those benches and shelters?
Yeah, it is. Particularly because we're so, we lack density. So people, you know, we don't have the frequency of service that we have in a bigger city. So people wait a little bit longer at those stops. We do a very similar study. You know, we don't want to put a shelter investment somewhere where people aren't using it or where they're not riding. So we look at ridership, we look at the frequency of the service, and then we make those investments as we can.
Yeah. Cam, you were nodding very vigorously at the beginning of that phone call when the caller was saying, hey, let's treat the bus system not as something that's only needed for very low-income people, but as this alternate, you know, a really good alternate source of transportation. Talk about that, like your feelings about that statement.
Yeah, I definitely was nodding my head a lot. I'm in agreement with that. You know, part of the Better Bus Coalition's, you know, vision is to humanize riding the bus. I think that, you know, the caller had a great point. The bus system is not just a poverty program. You know, the bus should be accessible to all, for all, no matter your demographic, no matter your social status. You know, it's important. It's vital to our community and to our economy that we have a robust public transportation system that can connect people to prosperity. You know, everybody can't drive, nor everybody should be driving. So we have to provide those outlets for people so they can thrive.
Yeah. And Cam, you know, you mentioned that you feel like that this 20 cent increase that you're seeing at Metro is worth it for the services and the improvements you're seeing. Have you heard much about what impact are people worried about these higher prices, I guess, is my question for you, and the impact they might have on their budgets?
You know, I've heard a few concerns, but what I tell people, and something that Brandy had mentioned earlier, is that when we were out pushing Issue 7, you know, I remember knocking doors for Issue 7, and, you know, we made it very clear that there will be fare increases. But what I tell people is that what comes with fare increases also comes with more scrutiny. So, you know, you have to continue to hold the agency accountable. You have to continue to remind the agency of what we voted for, you know, and it's critical that the leaders that run the agency are visible in our community so that they too can, you know, report these changes to the community. I think it's vital that we see the people who make these decisions in our community riding the buses so that people can see them.
Yeah. Well, there is some new technology that I'm going to talk with both of you about in a minute. But first, I want to get Chris into this conversation. I want to talk with you, Chris, about the changes regarding students. And I understand Cincinnati Public Schools is going to have more students riding Metro buses this coming school year, more instead of yellow buses. How many more students are we talking about?
Yeah, thank you. We're talking about just shy of 1,300 additional students riding Metro versus yellow bus last year.
Okay. And are these mostly 7th and 8th graders? Do I understand that correctly?
Mostly 7th and 8th graders, but we also want to level the playing field. We had some 9th through 12th graders, too, who were grandfathered on the yellow bus. So we've moved everyone, so it's a level playing field across all of our schools across the district. If you're in 7 through 12, you're riding Metro now.
Okay, so everybody 7 through 12 is riding Metro.
Correct.
Okay. And as I understand it, this was a change made to help save some money. How much money does it save the district?
Yeah, so putting all the 7 through 12 students on Metro this year will be about $2.2 million worth of savings to the district as we're trying to tackle our budget shortfall this year.
Yeah, that sounds like obviously a significant amount of money. I mean, how is it that much less expensive for students to ride Metro than to operate yellow buses? Explain that dynamic for us.
Yeah, so from a CPS perspective, we really have the Cadillac version of transportation. We pick up students almost outside their house and deliver them right to school.
And those are the yellow buses.
Those are the yellow buses. Mm-hmm. And you know, that comes at a cost. And Metro is a lot more efficient where we're asking students to walk to the bus stop, which might be up to a half mile from their house. And so as we look at the stops and the efficiencies the Metro has with also the transfers, now with the yellow bus, there are no transfers. You get on at home and you get delivered right to school. But with the Metro network set up, it's a lot more efficient. So that's why the $2.2 million is significant due to the efficiencies of getting from point A to point B.
Yeah. Brandy, how much experience does Metro have with these younger students on the buses? I'm thinking especially the 7th and 8th graders, I can imagine. I'm a worrywart mom myself, although my daughters are now grown women. But I can imagine some parents may be worrying about their younger kids riding the bus with everybody.
Yeah. So Metro has more than 50 years of experience serving CPS. So we definitely understand, you know, when parents are putting their student for the first time on the bus, that there are some worries, you know, that's understandable. But what I would say is that we have a very safe system. And you look at our numbers, I mean, incredibly safe system. All of our buses have cameras on board. All of our transit centers have cameras. We work very closely with CPD. If there's any issues on board, you know, we have officers stationed at our facilities. They ride along our buses. We partner with the city right now. We've invested $250,000 to have community officers who are just who work at our centers, and they're there in the evenings after school. So if there's any kids who have concerns, who have questions, who maybe need just resources, are you hungry? Do you need help finding an after school job? They're there to be that support. They're not police officers. They're individuals who are just there to support. And we have seen a significant reduction in issues at those centers, more than half, according to the CPD information. And so it's working. And again, we have a very safe system, and Metro want to make sure that we're a part of the solution. We meet with our partners, with Cincinnati Public Schools, with the advocates, with the city, and working to be a part of the solutions to help families and students have a successful school year.
Yeah. Chris, you wanted to add on to that?
Yeah. And to that point, we partnered with Metro because we knew that parents maybe having their students ride Metro for the first time might be a little out of what they normally do. So from August 20th to 27th, parents can ride free to and from school with their son or daughter. So we want to make sure that they have an experience that they're comfortable with. So for 7 days, the first 7 days of school, parents can ride with their son or daughter to school and to home at no charge.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Get a little chaperone, little escort there.
And we always encourage parents to take a ride with their student before school starts. That helps just get all the any worries out. The student knows their route. They know how to board, how to get off. And all of our operators, they're parents. They've been students themselves. They really care about our students. And if a student has an issue out on board or have a concern or question, our drivers are there to be supporters and to help them. So, you know, we feel confident that once students get on and ride, they'll just see how easy and efficient it is to use the system.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hey, Rosalie, thanks so much for listening. What's your question or comment?
Oh, I think I didn't know if they were just repeating the ones that I'd made on the phone. I said that I grew up in Philadelphia, and at age 11, I had to take the bus to junior high, but actually it was three pieces of transportation. I had to take a trolley, then switch to an elevated train, and then switch to a bus. And I would get to school literally from the moment I left my house till when I arrived at school within 30 minutes with three different kinds of transportation because everything ran really quickly. And we had school tokens, so you got on. It was simple. You didn't have to worry about cash. And I just think it's a good idea to not use the yellow bus system. It's going to make buses and transportation for everybody a lot more frequent because more things will run if more people are riding, and the kids will become bus riders for life. That's one comment I have. Another a comment I have is to do with the bad weather we had this winter. I had to catch a bus and literally jump over like 2 feet. It seemed like 2 feet of snow just to get onto the bus. I don't know what can be done about having some kind of protection at the bus stops. I don't know if you can heat the ground immediately in front of a bus stop or something so that we don't have that dangerous situation where you literally have to jump onto a bus. And then my third point or question is, what's the new fare for seniors?
Okay. Great. Well, that's a lot of ground to cover. Thanks so much, Rosalie. I'm gonna toss this one to you, Brandy.
Well, I wish I had a magic wand and we could, you know, erase the snow and that sort of thing. You know, I think that the reality is we operate on city streets, and you know, we really depend on the municipalities and the homeowners to clear the sidewalks and that sort of thing. Metro really works hard to make sure that our transit centers are cleared pretty promptly on those snow and bad weather days. Just so that we can promptly and safely service all of our community. And to your second second question regarding the senior fare, it is still going to be half the fare. So on the $2.20 base fare, it'll just be $1.10 for our seniors to ride.
Okay. And Chris, anything you want to add? Rosalie's very much endorsing the idea of city buses instead of yellow buses. Are you hoping to eventually do this maybe even for younger children?
Right now, we're not looking at younger children, but I would say that we have to embrace all different methods of getting folks from point A to point B. And in some cases, a yellow bus is probably the best solution. In other cases, it might be metro. In other cases, we also have white fleet, which is vans and cars that get students. Sometimes those are our students who might have an IEP or might not be able to ride a regular metro or yellow bus. Maybe they need a harness or an aide to ride with them. So we also look at safe routes to school and how do we walk, bike, skateboard to get to school. All of those are viable options. So it's not just one size fits all. Every school is unique. Every student is unique. And getting from point A to point B takes a lot of different modes of transportation.
Yeah. We need to take a short break. We'll continue our conversation after that. If you have questions, you can call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our discussion about public transit in the region. My guests are Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky General Manager Gina Douthat, Cincinnati Metro Chief Communications and Marketing Officer Brandy Jones, Cincinnati Public Schools Chief Operating Officer Chris Burkhart, and Better Bus Coalition co-founder Cam Hardy. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Gina, you just mentioned during the break a program that Tank has instituted to help people, I guess, of various ages who are maybe want to ride the bus but are nervous about the bus. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So it's called Ready to Ride, and it's a program that basically travel trains. So if you are someone who's never ridden the bus, you're a little anxious about it, It makes it really an easy thing to do. We walk you through on the classroom side how much the fare is, how to pay your fare, how to read a bus schedule. These are all things that if you've never done it before, our studies tell us that people are very intimidated by it. And then we take them out on the bus and we show them how to use the fare box and how to use their app and how to, you know, pull the cord when they want to get off. So it takes this very mysterious and intimidating process and makes it very simple for people.
And Cam, that can be really empowering for young people, can it? I mean, I can remember, my sister and I had yellow bus service to school, but I can remember we wanted to learn to ride the bus. We grew up in Northern Kentucky. We were like, that bus will take us to the mall. Like, we can go do stuff with that when our mom's at work. So that can, is that important for young people, you think, to learn those skills?
Yeah, absolutely. I learned how to ride the bus when I was 8 years old. My mother worked full time. She was in school. And I remember, you know, I went to Pleasant Hill Elementary, and she was riding the bus in the opposite direction of me. So she had to show me how to get to school, and she didn't really like me walking that far. So she told me how to, ride the bus to school. And I mean, I hit the ground running after she showed me how to do that. And she felt comfortable with putting me on the bus. She knew the bus operator. She knew the bus operator knew me, you know, knew where to see me. It was all in after that, you know. My mother did not have any issues or worries about me getting on the bus. So I really like that program that Gina is mentioning. I think that it's going to help relieve a lot of pressure and stress. The first time of riding a bus is very intimidating for people. But if you show them, like, hey, you know, this is easy. This is how you pay your fare. This is how you ring the button. That was my favorite thing as a kid, ringing that button. it's definitely easier.
Yeah. So. Well, and to your point, Gina, that can be intimidating for people of all ages. It's not just
Absolutely.
Little kids. If you're older and you've never done it, Brandy, you want to add something?
Yeah. One tool that's been a game changer is a transit app. It allows you to plan your trip, pay your fare, and track your bus in real time, all from the palm of your hand. And that, I think, takes a lot of the ambiguity out of riding the bus. Because the biggest question is, when I get to a stop, when will my bus get there? You know, is there a detour? Is there traffic delays? And you can literally see your bus on the map coming to you. And that tool has really taken out all the guesswork of using, you know, transit.
Yeah. Randy, we were talking before about how Metro's new fare structure includes free rides for children, and you've got that 55-inch height thing that operators will be using. Does that apply to kids like young, bright kids like Cam was, who are like 8 years old? Can they just get on the bus free if they're yet smaller than that 55-inch and go wherever they want?
Well, we do have a 12 years and above policy for riding alone. We want to make sure that, you know, kids know how to navigate our system and that they're, you know, being safe. And so we do require that if you're under 12, you need to be with an adult. And so if you are riding with a dot, you can certainly ride free if you hit that marker.
Okay. We had a question from Carlos, our technical director. He mentions, and I think this is a really good point, yellow buses, when they stop, have those stop signs that come out from the side with the flashing lights and really make it clear to drivers, hey, there are little kids around, just, you know, slow your roll, you got to stop and wait for them. How does that work with Metro buses? Is that something that's a concern when little younger people are getting on Metro buses, Chris?
Yeah, so all of our students who are riding Metro are seventh grade and above right now. But we're also, to your point, making sure that this is the first year in recent history that we're doing an audit at all of our schools around the school to make sure that every area around the campus is safe. So we're doing it on, are there speed bumps? Are there flashing signs? Are there crosswalks? Making sure that their crosswalk is staffed. So we're really taking a concerted effort to make all of those routes to school as safe as possible.
We got an email from Holly. Holly writes, where I used to live, seniors rode any bus free. Also, all buses were equipped to have wheelchair users board. These are ways to make public transit really for everyone. Gina, do you have thoughts on that?
So every bus in this region has access for people in wheelchairs. That's a universal given.
Okay.
We welcome anyone that wants to ride. We welcome you on our vehicles. And then the reduced fare program is a federally required program to require half fare for seniors. So they don't ride free, but they do ride for half the fare.
Yeah. And for tank riders, that'd be $1 instead of $2.
Right.
And you said for the standard fare at Metro, it'd be $1.10 instead of $2.20.
Correct.
Okay. I want to circle back to something you kind of referenced a little earlier, Brandy, and that was that last year, I think it was around this time last year, I guess it was during the school year, there were some incidents of young people getting into fights and causing some commotion around some Metro stops, some hubs. I think there were near Government Square was one place. You talked a little bit about what Metro has been working on proactively. Chris, I want to get your thoughts. How is CPS involved in that just to ensure safety and that kids are, you know, not getting into trouble around those bus stops and hubs?
Yeah, so I appreciate the question. It's not only CPS, it takes a village is what I keep saying. So it's not only CPS, it's Metro, it's the city, it's the police, it's other groups of volunteers who come together. It's all of us coming together to make sure that these transit hubs are safe, and they are. When you take into consideration, we have over 13,000 students in the morning and in the afternoon, times 5 days a week. There's over 100,000 students, you know, going through these transit hubs on any given day. And every now and again, there's one incident that somehow makes the news. So if you look at how the safety and the number of incidents, it's really low. It's not even statistically able to be measured because it is so low. But we understand there's concern, and we want everyone to not only be safe, but we want them to feel safe as they're going from one place to another. So because of that, we have CPS folks there. We have volunteers. We have presence with Metro. We have presence with city workers. We have the police as well. And we just want to make sure everyone feels safe as they're transversing through one of the transit hubs.
Yeah. And I imagine you have that the schools have conversations with students about expected behaviors, riding the bus and all that kind of stuff. Is that sort of part of it?
Yes, we have a code of conduct specifically for riding either Yellow Bus or Metro. It's the same code of conduct, as well as when a student is going through Government Square or one of the transit hubs, we get a report every week. And so we have those conversations with principals and school leadership teams, as well as with the students, to find out, is there a reason why they're going there? Are they meeting, you know, their friends, or are they going to work, or are they doing something else? So we have our finger on the pulse every single week to know who's going there and why. And this year we actually have a new initiative in which we're going to color code the passes. So those students who have to go through Government Square and make a change will have one color pass. But if they don't have to, they're going to have another color pass. And that just is going to be able for everyone to kind of see and ask why they're there and to help them through their journey. I will also say that every CPS student can get from home to school with only one transfer. And so they're only hitting that one of those transfer spots once in their entire journey.
That color coding seems like a clever idea. Cam, what do you hear from other riders about riding the bus with students? Do you ever hear complaints, or, you know, because there are lots of grown-ups who aren't going to school who are riding the bus? What do you hear from riders?
Yeah, I mean, I do hear a few complaints. I do agree with the gentleman from CPS, though. Statistically, it's not that much. You know, riding the bus is extremely safe. I remember when I was a kid going to CPS, and, you know, if we turn up on the bus a little bit, one of those elders will turn around and say, "Excuse me, sir, you know, calm down on here."
That's that village coming into play.
It's the village, yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that it's a lot of that on the buses, which is why I really like riding the buses, because it's a community. So to answer your question, there are a few concerns, but like I said, I mean, we're a community, we're a village, and so we usually handle them internally. But I do like the idea of the color-coded passes so that we can help the students. I mean, maybe they got lost. We don't know. So maybe, you know, this will help guide them to where they got to go. I think it's really good.
Yeah. And that's easy for the bus drivers to recognize, too, when they're looking at the kids getting on and off, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It streamlines everything, so everyone knows where they're supposed to be. And it just kind of helps us just make sure that we're ushering the kids along after school.
Yeah. Well, we're going to did you want to add something, Chris?
Yeah. And the other change that we've made is we're changing the time frame that students are riding the Metro. And the cutoff is now 5 o'clock, and it used to be 5:30. Not to say students can't ride Metro, because we have extracurricular passes for any student who needs it, whether they're going to a job or if they're in a club after school or if they're in sports, they can get an extracurricular pass. But we want to make sure that we're getting the students from home to school efficiently and quickly, and we want to make sure that they can do that during a specific period of time. So we moved that from 5:30 to 5 o'clock for this next school year.
And am I remembering correctly that you changed the start time for some schools also? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have 9 schools that are changing start times this year, and that's mainly for Yellow Bus riders. And the reason that we changed the times is to pair our buses together. For example, we have an early start paired with a late start, so that bus driver can drive a morning shift and then a late morning shift. What we found after we made some changes 2 years ago is that the pairings weren't exactly set whereby we had the most efficiency. So we had some folks who were doing their first shift, but we didn't have a second shift for them to pair with. So that alone, just that little change of these 9 start times, most of them are less than 15 minutes, is going to save us over $600,000. Mm. So it's a little change with a big impact.
Yeah. We got an email from a listener who says, "I used to take the bus to Florence, Kentucky from Silverton. It was not convenient to use two systems in the same trip because the two systems don't consolidate fare and schedule for transfer. We need the same fare card for both. The lack of dedicated transit hub building in downtown made the trip stressful. The congestion in the Government Square was unbearable, causing delays and missed connections. More funding needed to improve the whole system." Now, this is trickier, but two systems, but I know you probably work pretty closely together. I know as a kid, I lots of times took a bus from Northern Kentucky and then one when I got into Cincinnati. Gina, do you want to start with kind of how that all works? I'll let you both respond to that.
I mean, we're besties. Tank and Metro do not compete. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that it's really important for people to understand. We might be two different systems, but we work really closely together. And the fare concept, I think, is one that we've really, over the last 15 years, focused on. We know that 80% of our customers don't ride Metro. 80% of Brandy's customers don't ride Tank. But for the 20% that do, having that seamless system is really important. So we have a fare card. We have a an MT pass, we call it, that is good for both systems. We now have the same app. So we have the same fare payment on board. We have the same validator on the bus. We have really made a lot of strides to make it easier for the people that do use both systems to do so. Mm. On the scheduling side, I think that we do a pretty good job of pairing up, you know, the common routes that people need to make those transfers to and from. It would be nearly impossible to make that every time happen seamlessly, but we really do try to make it a safe place to transfer and make it a place where people can be really comfortable while they wait.
Yeah. Brandy, anything you want to add?
And there's a new partnership that we launched in May called Easy Connect, and it's for riders with disabilities. And we realized that if you lived in Butler County and you needed to get to an appointment in Northern Kentucky, you would have had to schedule with three different entities, with Metro, with Tank, with Butler County RTA, and be certified across three systems. And hope that your schedule matched up with each of those services to get to your appointment. And so the new pilot that we're running with Easy Connect is for those customers who use our Access Paratransit service. They call just one agency, and we make sure that we connect their trip, and it's on one trip, on one vehicle from start to finish. And so that has really been something that we've been in conversations with a lot of our regional partners about. How do we make transit seamless across all of our borders, across our state lines, because we know that in our region, people don't just live and play in one area. And so we're looking at our system holistically of how do we improve that customer experience.
Well, we will be back with more on public transit in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about riding the bus in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. My guests are Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky General Manager Gina Douthat, Cincinnati Metro Chief Communications and Marketing Officer Brandy Jones, Cincinnati Public Schools Chief Operating Officer Chris Burkhart, and Better Bus Coalition co-founder Cam Hardy. Do you have questions or comments for them? Now's the time to call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Now, much earlier in the conversation, I was talking about this new technology that Metro and Tank are rolling out. Which one of you wants to talk about Tap and Save? Explain what it is, how it works.
Well, we want to make sure that we are not only thanking all of our customers for riding, but also giving them some cash back in their pocket. And so it's around the industry is referred to as fare capping. But the Tap and Save program ensures that riders will never pay more than the cost of a day pass or a 30-day pass. Maybe at the time, they don't have enough to buy a 30-day pass up front. And previously, they were paying each time they rode and were exceeding the cost of what it would have been if they had purchased a 30-day pass. So the beauty of the Tap and Save program is that when they use the app, in the transit app, or if they don't have the app, they can get a tap card. And every time they ride, the technology will make sure that they are not paying more than the cost of a day pass or a 30-day pass for their rides. And so that's really putting some cash back into their pockets.
Yeah. And Gina, riders don't have to have a smartphone to make this work?
They don't. No, you can purchase a stored value card and get all those same benefits. It's really, we're trying to find ways to make it simple for people, but also use that technology to, again, make it less expensive for the folks that don't have, you know, $100 up front to be able to put on transit.
Yeah. Cam, what do you think about that?
technology is a great thing. I'm really excited about these changes. You know, I ride transit systems all over the country. And I'll say that fare capping is definitely catching on. I like tap and save. I think that's catchy. I think that's kind of, you know, slick. You know, as I traverse out and ride these systems, the only thing that I was saying, not trying to be a stickler or anything, is we have to make sure that the technology works so that people are actually being able to benefit from the fare capping program. So say if I'm riding a bus, I need that other fare, I need that other box to work so that it catches the fact that I now have a day pass. Because now, if it's not, if the technology is not keeping up, then people are actually going to spend more money versus save. So that would be the only thing, is that we have to make sure that we get the technology rolling. But I'm very excited about these new things and new changes that's coming to both systems, and Tank and Metro.
Gotcha. So you're saying you need to make sure the technology on the bus itself is doing what it's supposed to do. Is there a lot of work that's going into making sure that the buses are as smart as the phones?
So each bus now has a validator, and that validator just requires maintenance like anything else on the vehicle. So absolutely, you're right. You don't want to get on a bus and have the validator not work.
Yeah.
That's an important piece of any technology, right?
Absolutely. And for us, the tap and save will begin July 16th. At the same time as our fare increase changes, our fare changes. And so we look forward to customers being able to use that. And the other thing that we rolled out in April was what we call rider rewards. And so when you use the transit app, every time you ride, when you take a survey or complete any campaigns that we have in there, you earn points that you can redeem for gift cards to local establishments, as well as more tickets to ride Metro. And so far, we've had more than 8,000 of our riders sign up for that, and more than 12,000 redemptions. So people are really enjoying using both programs just to have some fun while they're riding. And it just rewards them, right? We want to thank our riders for their loyalty and making the choice to use Metro every day. And so these two programs, we believe, really offset the modest increase that we have in fare and gives a little bit more back to our customers as well.
Yeah. Gina, does Tank have a rewards program?
We added the same program when we raised our fare in March.
Okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
Those are the same program. So for people that use both systems, they're able to get rewards on both systems.
Oh, yeah, great.
It's great.
Okay. We did get a call from someone who asks about dedicated bus service from Cincinnati to the airport. I know Tank has buses that go out to the airport. Is there any thought of some kind of express service or anything like that?
It is an express service.
Okay, then.
It is the best. I jokingly refer to it as the best deal in town. It's $2 straight from downtown to the airport.
$2.
$2.
To get, what do you get? Catch it at Government Square?
You catch
or something?
It right across from Government Square. It is a direct trip. There are no stops between downtown and the terminal. So it's a really great deal. We even have little luggage racks on that vehicle. So yeah, it's fantastic for people that live downtown or that work downtown and they're traveling for business. It's a super deal.
Yeah. Cam, have you taken that?
Absolutely. My fiance never has to drive me to the airport. I just get on the 2X and I'm there in 15, 20 minutes. And like you said, it makes no stops. And, you know, it comes quite frequently in terms of, you know, trying to get to the airport. So I love it.
It's yeah. Great. See, that's why you're such a catch, Cam. You don't have, nobody needs to drive you to the airport.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's good to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, with the Metro buses that students are taking, do families pay for that in any way, or is the school district paying for those passes that Metro need to take the bus?
Yeah, great question. So that cost is covered by CPS. Parents don't have to worry about any of those fares, including any extracurricular passes or after school or even Saturday school events. So those are covered by by CPS, and we partner with Metro on that.
Okay. Gina, I wonder, you've had these fare increases in place since March. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any kind of decrease in ridership since the fares went up?
We have not. No. The one route, so the South Bank shuttle is the exception to that. It used to be $1, and we've doubled the fare on that route. A lot of people moved over to other services. So we haven't seen a decrease in ridership, just a decrease on that one.
Okay.
That one service. Yeah.
Is that something, Brandy, that Metro is kind of bracing for? Are you expecting to see any kind of decrease in ridership when the fares go up July 16th?
We're always monitoring our service and ridership patterns and that sort, but we do not expect a decrease. In fact, we are continuing to grow our service and our system. We're going to be adding some new routes, increasing our frequency, and just constantly looking at how we improve. And year over year, we continue to see improvements and growth in ridership. For example, the prior year, we saw a 33% increase in ridership. And a recent survey told us that 30% of our riders have been using us for less than 2 years. So that means that what we're doing is working. People like it. Our customers are, you know, are voting with their feet. And so we continue to see that we expect to see that growth continue as we can, you know, add more service, add more improvements for years to come.
Yeah. Gina, what are you all seeing? Are you seeing new ridership increasing at, on Tank?
So we are seeing new people for sure. Ridership is pretty stable over the last 2 years. Post-pandemic, we saw a big jump and then a kind of stable, a stable situation with ridership. So, yeah, we're optimistic. Again, we're a suburban system, and so the dynamics are a little bit different. The downtown is different than it was 5 years ago. People don't, you know, go to work 5 days a week downtown anymore. So there are just some things that are affecting us a little bit differently that we're trying to react to.
Yeah. So, Chris, are CPS students going to earn these rewards when they take Metro buses to school?
Sadly, they're not. They're not able to get those rewards.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if CPS can get those rewards though. So I have some conversations with Brandy after this.
Yeah, no kidding. Free lunch for you for years to come. Can they use their school bus passes on the weekend or on holidays when they're not in school, Chris?
If there's a school event, they can use their pass for the extracurricular pass specifically. So they couldn't use their regular home-to-school pass, but if they have an extracurricular pass, we know there's a lot of sporting events and club activities, nights and weekends, and so they can utilize those passes during that time.
Okay.
And again, they're going to be color-coded, so we know, you know, that they can use that pass.
Yeah. Cam, just real quickly, people ride the bus for lots of different reasons. Do you feel like, and I know you're a very dedicated bus rider, do you feel like the transit system here gets you where you need to go efficiently?
Yes. I mean, you know, especially after advocating for Issue 7, I think that Cincinnati Metro has done a fantastic job building, you know, what the voters have asked for. We wanted more frequency. We wanted 24-hour bus service. We wanted bus rapid transit, and we're watching that very close as that continues to flesh out. You know, we're very excited with the direction that Metro is going. Absolutely. And Tank as well. You know, I talked to folks that ride Tank as well, and they're very excited about Tank too.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky General Manager Gina Douthat, Cincinnati Metro Chief Communications and Marketing Officer Brandy Jones, Cincinnati Public Schools Chief Operating Officer Chris Burkhart, and last but not least, Better Bus Coalition co-founder Cam Hardy. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.